Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to start today's lecture. So we have Kaisa Helttunen today speaking of her research group, and then Elina Kalenius will be joining us at 1 o'clock. So I have started the recording, and everything should be probably working all right. So hopefully the recording will pick up on Kaisa speak okay.
Can you hear me? If I
Let's
speak from here.
check the chat. Can you hear Kaisa's voice
Can you
okay?
hear me now if I speak here?
Can you confirm in the chat? Yeah,
Thank
thank
you.
you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. So move on to the audience.
Go ahead, Kaisa. Thank you, Siri. Thank you for the introduction and invitation to talk about my research group for the course of TEMES 6300 Introduction to Circular Economy. And I'm assistant professor in organic analytical chemistry, and my research group is called Organic Chemistry for Circular Economy. And the purpose of today's presentation is to explain a bit of the activities that we do and how they are connected to circular economy and development of the field.
Let me see if I can do it from here, or I can do it from here. Oh, maybe I'm not active. Okay.
Well, it seems to work. So I made a brief outline of the lecture. So first we can look a bit of the learning objectives of the course and how my lecture is linked to those, and then talk about our research group. And I selected three research topics that I will explain you. Bioactive molecules, biorefining, and recovery techniques. And then I want to show some recent bachelor and master thesis topics that were completed or are ongoing in my group. So you will get an idea of what kind of theses are possible under my supervision. And then some time for conclusions and questions and discussion. So I copied this directly from SISU. What we are aiming to teach on this course is the basics of circular economy. And the last 2 points I emphasized because these are more linked to the lecture today. So knowing how chemistry can help in moving towards the circular economy, so we can have a look of one group's perspective, and then getting an overall image of the circular economy research and its applications in our university. Again, I will give my own share on this discussion. And here is a picture of our group and how our group is
What kind of structure we have, what kind of members we have. And here is a link to the research group websites
where you can get more information about these activities and group members. So I already introduced myself, and I'm also doing research and teaching. Teaching is now mainly in a second year chemistry course, analytical chemistry laboratory work. And then later on, I will be teaching also in the upcycling course for the master's degree program in chemistry and analytics for circular economy.
We have senior lecturer Elina Sievänen, who is specialized in NMR spectroscopy and also
also gels, and one postdoctoral researcher, Teppo Leino, who is working with anion binding catalysts. And then one, we have in total of three PhD students. One of them is finishing the thesis already, Markus Ratapamua, on anion binding systems. And then we have Juliana Olapää and Jomi Matsumoto-Viljanen are doing active research at the moment on micellar systems and biomass valorization and bioactive molecules topics. And then at the moment we have one master students and one visiting Erasmus student. And here I was also some external funding that we have from several organizations. Okay, so our group description from the web page says that we investigate recovery and upcycling of valuable components from biomass using organic supermolecules as extractants and catalysts. In addition, our receptor molecules can bind either harmful or useful anions. The goal is to develop molecular level chemical applications for bio and circular economy. And here I know that our audience is mixed with mixed backgrounds, so not everybody is studying chemistry. And during this lecture, I try to explain some of those technical concepts and also make the overall presentation in a level that you can follow, even though you are not familiar with chemistry in detail. So, check because this Zoom window is blocking my presenter notes, so I will check from my papers what I have in mind. Okay. In this picture, I'm showing two very simple ideas of how the linear economy works. So it's basically what we mostly have nowadays. It's either this linear economy or recycled economy. And the idea is here that we need a lot of raw materials. We use them to make products that are used and then disposed. And we would like to change this to close to this ideal circular economy where we can keep the products and components and materials that are used to make them in use as long as possible. And at the end of their lifetime, we can recover and upcycle the materials and make new products without taking more of the virgin raw materials from nature. And I link our activities mostly on these recovery and upcycling steps. So with chemistry, we can influence on those. And then if we look a little bit more detailed butterfly diagram that I believe is familiar to you from the MOOC part of this course, we can see that the picture becomes more complex, and there is a hierarchy how, for example, with sharing economy and maintaining and prolonging use, we can keep highest value of the products because of the diminish the consumption of energy and materials. And aim of the circular economy is in principle that the value of the products, materials and resources is maintained in the economy as long as possible, and the generation of waste is minimized. So this is according to the Circular Economy Action Plan from European Commission. And in this butterfly diagram, we have a division to technological cycle and biological cycle. And In a technological cycle, we have products that are mainly used, and then in the biological cycle, products that are more consumed, like food and biomass, and all organic is related to the biological cycle. Yes, in addition, we are having these cascades, so that the idea is that in biorefinery, for example, if we use organic material, take organic biomass, the idea is to favor the highest value, and therefore we can be more resource efficient and generate resource efficient products, and last resort is the use of bioenergy, so using biomass to generate bioenergy by burning, for example. Yes, and on the other hand, we can have products from the technical cycle if they are made from biomass like cotton, then in the end they can be returned to the biological cycle if they are biodegradable. And in addition to this butterfly diagram, we see that here we are dealing with organic biorefinery concepts and recovery of organic valuables. We can see that there is another concept called bioeconomy that was generated even earlier. And the idea is that we could replace the use of fossil fuels and fossil carbon with bio-based alternatives. The bioeconomy and circular economy have some shared goals, so improved resource and eco-efficiency and low greenhouse gas footprint, and to reduce the demand for fossil carbon and valorization of waste and side streams. So especially this valorization is something that also our group is interested in. And in a conceptual way, we can think that the bioeconomy and circular economy are separate things, that they have an overlap, and in the middle we can think that bio-based circular economy has these common features from both of the fields. And I would say that our group's activities, they are related to these biorefinery cascades and different use of biochemical feedstocks, and with the aim to increase value from our natural resources and from different waste streams. And as also assist in the chemical recovery steps in both biological and technological cycles that are linked in this butterfly diagram. Okay. So this is then an overview of the research that we are doing in my group. So we can think that the aims of the circular economy and the bio-based circular economy, they generate a lot of different options for chemistry research. So kind of recovery and upcycling, and development of new production methods for bio-based chemicals, to develop more sustainable chemical conversions, and this would be along with the principles of green chemistry. And
how we have defined it here, that we do recovery and upcycling of valuable components from biomass using supramolecular receptors as extractants and catalysts. So the supramolecular receptor, if you are familiar with chemistry, you may have heard, but if you're not, it's not a problem. So it simply means interaction between two different kind of molecules. So supramolecular complex is, for example, this type of complex where we have a smaller molecule inside, called guest in green, and larger one outside. And these two can form specific interactions. And this is called a supramolecular complex, and they can have a lot of different applications in selective binding and also in catalysis. And with because our group has started or has studied this kind of interactions with different anion binding receptors for a long time, I chose as an example of this calyx spiral complex with the chloride anion. Anion here simply means a atom with a negative charge, so it becomes an ion. And then they can have, for example, hydrogen bonding interactions with the host molecule. Yes. And what we are nowadays looking is like two, three kind of different possibilities. So we can form selective complex, or we could use it for recovery. We could also utilize the bigger molecule as a catalyst to make some useful chemical conversion. Or we can make this kind of complex so that the properties of the smaller molecule become more active. For example, we could improve the bioactivity or improve the stability of the smaller molecule inside the big one, inside the cavity. Yes. So if we look at the first example, here is the field where we, or the topic where we can prepare bio-based materials from biomass. And this can be thought of as biorefining or upcycling, depending on the source of the biomass. And here we need specific catalyst that this chemical conversion from the biomass to a chemical that then can be later used to make the bio-based product, it becomes environmentally efficient, sustainable, and also economically viable. Second option is that we use different kind of molecular interactions to remove pollutants or recover valuable compounds from biomass or from different waste streams. And then talking about the valorization of biomass and finding high-value products, examples are these bioactive molecules that plants make, and we can find and extract them from our natural resources, and then they can have interesting properties, for example, as antiviral or antimicrobial compounds. Okay. Then I go in more detail in each of the topics. So first, I will talk a little bit about the bioactive molecules, and our doctoral researcher Yomi Matsumoto-Viljanen is making this research.
So our motivation is to create value from plants and replace the use of non-renewable materials with bio-based alternatives and discover new methods to prevent bacterial viral infections that are huge global problems. And what part of our motivation is that the notion that 50% of small molecular drugs that were developed between 1981 and 2008, they were natural products, synthetically modified natural products, or they had natural product as part of the pharmaceutically active ingredient. And plants are really rich source of different kind of secondary metabolites that are basically chemical compounds that the plants don't use or don't need for the growing itself, or but they need it for the other activities. And they produce, for example, pigments, UV protection to the plants, protection from insects, bacteria, viruses, and fungi. And these are the properties that we as humans could also utilize, or all these metabolites act as plant hormones. So what we are doing at the moment is to look into different berries that grow in Finland, either wild or as cultivated species. And we have collected about 14, 15 different species and varieties at the moment. And we have dried the samples, and then we are using solvent extraction to make an extract. And then we run chemical analysis. And then our collaborators at the Biological and Environmental Sciences are doing the antimicrobial and antiviral tests for several different pathogens that are harmful for humans or may have, for example, resistance to known antibiotics. Where we aim to go after we make this first extract, that we check how they effectively they kill bacteria or viruses, and the best ones are chosen to chemical fractionation. So we make sort of division of the extract based on its chemical properties. And then from those fractions, we can again look the bioactivity and try to understand the chemical components in more detail. This QR code here is also a link to our group website in the Finnish version. So this project has started like 1 year ago, approximately, when Yomi started working in my group, and we are still developing the topic, and the first sort of the first antiviral tests started in August, and we will see what results we will get. And we try to publish this. And I think from this topic, there is also some possibilities to work or do bachelor and master's thesis. No, it's a quite nice topic. I check if I've been a bit slow, so this is maybe not so relevant now, but naphthoquinones are another type of bioactive molecules that are produced, for example, some sundew plants that grow in marshlands, and they have interesting properties, for example, plant-plant interactions. So plants use it to fight another plant. And we have been starting a project or made some experiments where we take the pure bioactive molecules and then we encapsulate them in cyclodextrins, and Then we characterize the properties. But let's move on to the biorefining part. So our doctoral researcher Julia Naulapää is working on this theme. And idea is that we want to make new chemicals from sugars that are part of lignocellulosic biomass, so for example wood. And the motivation is to reduce the use of non-renewable sources of carbon for fuels and chemicals with bio-based alternatives. There are some chemical challenges to make energy efficient environmentally benign routes for certain platform chemicals. I will explain soon what is a platform chemical. And for example, separation and side reaction are issue for 5-HMF that I was showing in the overview slide. And we also would like to utilize the second generation biofuel feedstocks, so non-edible and waste biomass instead of first generation, so that we don't compete, or the applications that we propose do not compete with land requirements for food production. So those of you who are not chemists, then we can think of biorefining through platform chemicals. And the idea is that you take biomass and you can make a chemical conversion to a platform chemical. And this serves as a feedstock for several different applications that now are taken from petrochemical feedstocks. So example, it can be converted into several different chemicals, and those are building blocks or directly usable as biofuels, fuel additives, solvents, bio-based polymers, pesticides, in food flavoring, fuel additives again, plasticizers, surfactants and resins. And there are an explanation what this could be in chemical terms for those of you who understand this language. So levulinic acid and platform chemical 2,5-hydroxymethylfurfural is the one that we are looking into. So in my group, we have started with the pure sugar. So we take a sugar that can be prepared from cellulose, for example, fructose, and we use a specific supramolecular catalyst. So this is an organic catalyst, and the idea is that we could improve the process. So that we, for example, we don't use inorganic acid in this case, that then might lead to generation of more like acidic waste, but we would like to make this catalyst reusable in the system. And we can also make chemical modifications to it so that it can be utilized in different conditions. Even we are now testing the synthesis in water-based solvents. And usually this reaction, it requires quite high temperature, and we are looking into if there is a possibility to do it at lower temperatures, which would be energy efficient. And then we are not ourselves investigating this part, but from 5-HMF you can move on to its oxidized product, and that can be used directly as a building block for bio-based plastics, like I was showing in the platform chemical slide.
Okay. So then the third topic, recovery techniques.
So these are, of course, quite crucial in all applications for circular economy, and we have looked into one specific kind. So surfactant micelles or micelle-mediated recovery techniques. And our motivation is to reduce the use of harmful or toxic organic solvents in the separations, and also to generate new selective separation and recovery techniques to enhance biorefining and upcycling of chemicals. So what is a surfactant? It's basically a soap-like molecule that has a hydrophobic tail and hydrophilic head, so water-loving and water-fearing. And in water solution, they arrange themselves or they aggregate into micelle structures where they bury the water-fearing parts inside of a spherical particle. And it can also take our analyte inside. And if we use specific kind of, let's say, non-ionic surfactant, we can do surfactant-mediated extraction, and we have used it to extract polyphenols or flavonoids, so some valuable compounds, or then testing with azo dyes that would be like environmental contaminant. And this is how the process would look like. So you heat the sample, and everything becomes cloudy because the particles inside start aggregating at a certain cloud pore temperature. And then when you leave them, they separate into two layers or phases, like chemists say. So with increasing surfactant amount, the portion that becomes extracted is higher. From this colorful sample, we can see with naked eye that in this case, when the surfactant amount is lower, we still have residual orange color in the water phase, whereas when we have higher amount of surfactant, it becomes closer to transparent. So we are thinking of how we can do different kind of extractions and find suitable conditions for different applications. Then I will show some recent bachelor and master thesis topics that have been concluded or are ongoing in my group, so you have an idea. So cloud point extraction in organic analytics, we tested from the berry samples and some known analyte, known polyphenol, and then there have been work in water-soluble calixarene chemistry. So calixarene is this type of molecule which has a cup or cavity inside, this supramolecular host. And we look into bioactive naphthoquinones and polyphenols of edible berries and platform chemicals from lignocellulosic biomass. Also environmental application of supramolecular gels and phosphate complexes of calyx for pyrrolus. And to conclude, so we have three research topics that support the development of circular economy with the bioactive molecules. We can try to find new antimicrobial compounds from berries, and this is generating high-value products. Later on, it will be nice to expand the raw material from berries to different side streams of the berry processing, because it's known that some of these bioactive molecules, they accumulate in the seeds or in the peel of berries. And in the biorefining, we synthesize platform chemicals, and we try to improve the processes. This would reduce our dependency from fossil carbon, and create sustainable processes. And in the recovery techniques, it's like linked to all of both of these two. And it's also slightly independent topic. And one example is this micelle-mediated extraction. We can utilize specific molecular interactions and try to bring more sustainable methods by replacing some toxic solvents with less harmful ones or water-based systems. Okay, I think this is all I had planned for the presentation. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you, Diana. So any questions from our students, raise your hands. If you have any or comments, I'm going to check the chat. Perhaps if we have something, if you have some questions, you can write them in the chat also. I can start with the comments or questions. I was wondering about the cost efficiency of these supramolecular systems. Are they, how expensive are they to use, and can they be reused in the process?
Yeah, I think the price, it depends how we do it. Of course, if we make some new molecule, it's very expensive first to develop it in the lab. And depending on the molecule and the yield that we can get and the starting materials, so we can think that it can be very expensive or less expensive. So in reality, it will be necessary to be able to use it multiple times. Also, it's known that if something is very good, if it would be very good, then the value it can create is also high. If you can do something selectively that you cannot otherwise, so then there's high incentive also to develop the synthesis in such a way that it could be produced in larger scale and with sort of less cost. And for example, in a treatment of radioactive waste, some of these calixarenes are known to have applications. So it depends.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Any other questions?
Do we have anything in the chat? Doesn't Erwin is asking, is this calyx for irene? Is it reusable?
Well, that we can say that at this point we are doing the first experiments and we are not reusing it, but if we can develop the process further, then we would like to study that aspect as well. But it sort of requires also a separate set of experiments. And from the literature, I remember one example where they showed like maybe 5 cycles for the reaction and it's still maintaining the catalytic activity. So this kind of experiments are required to show what is the reusability and when the efficiency actually goes down.
Yes. Thank you, Kaisa.
Anything else from our audience?
If not, thank you, Kaisa. We can then move on to Anna's presentation. Do you want to have a 5-10 minute break before the presentation? We could do a small break and then continue at 1:05. Yeah. So 10 minute break, then we will convene.
Same goes for our remote people over there. I'm going to stop the recording for 10 minutes and then we will continue 1:05. Okay,
we will continue with Elina's talk. So we'll continue with a similar topic as Kaisa, but I will let you continue to take the wheel. So senior lecturer Elina Kalenius.
Okay, thank you, Siri. Nice to be here. Nice to meet you all. Some familiar faces and some new faces. So my name is Elina Kalenius, and I'm a senior lecturer at analytical chemistry. And I'm running our research group, which goes with the title Organic Analytics for Circular Economy. If you're more interested about the website of the research group and what is going on, you can look at from the QR code from there. So we have a small group. I'm leading the group. Then we have staff scientist Anniina Kiesilä, who is running our mass spec laboratory. So during your studies, if you take the courses, for example, for mass spectrometry, practical methods of mass spec, or if you join for the analytical chemistry advanced exercises, there is the LC-MS exercise and SSC-HPLC exercise. So Anniina will be the person who is instructing you practically in the laboratory. Then we have Jarmo Louhelainen, our senior lecturer, who is expert on, especially on the biomass of a wood industry and extractables and this type of things. Then we have project researchers Rosa-Maria Liimatainen and Pius Kairiko. They are working full-time for our EU-funded project called TURBIDS, which I'm going to tell a little bit more in detail in quite soon. So in our group, we focus to find molecules, which we call organic valuables, in different side streams and waste streams, and we are interested in their recovery and valorization. So what is then the organic valuable? Maybe Kaisa already mentioned something. It can be basically anything, a molecule which is organic. It can be also extract which is organic. So it doesn't need to be a specific one molecule, but it can be also extract containing valuable organic compounds. So we are focusing on that kind of utilization of that kind of compounds which might find their use in industry, in cosmetics industry, in pharmaceutical industry, or in food industry, for example. And if I look at this focus of our research group a little bit broadly, so we are interested in different type of side streams. They can be industrial side streams from food industry, for example, peels and seeds and that kind of things. They can be bio-waste. It can be wastewater containing, for example, antibiotics or other pharmaceuticals, or it can be also new crops which are cultivated for a purpose. But this kind of a side streams, especially as well as actually grown crops, they are pretty much downcycled nowadays to lower degree of products, like to feed animals, to use them as a culture media, or then consumed as a energy. Now, if we consider the plant material which contains 1,000 different phytochemicals, which plant has product for their defense and growth and such a things. There's lots of compounds which could be usable in for us directly, or then as a product for the pharmaceutical or cosmetics industry or other branches of chemical industry. So instead of taking these and downcycling them to lower grade products, what we would like to do is that we would take these materials, extract and recover and valorize those valuable compounds from these materials and use them first through the upcycling processes to different branches of industry. And then, of course, the actual biomass material can be then further used for the lower degree processes to animal feeds and culture media and so on. So why is that then? Because this is resource efficient. Many of those molecules, they require lots of manpower, lots of chemicals, and lots of energy when we are producing them, for example, for the pharmaceutical industry. Of course, that's quite more resource efficient if we can obtain them directly from the plant materials. Also, plants are producing molecules which we cannot at the moment synthesize in the laboratories. So we are able to, this way, we are able to obtain and possibly find potential pharmaceutical products. Especially that would be interesting for antivirals and antibiotics, for example, because with that road, we are closing to the end very soon if we are not able to obtain new potential pharmaceutical products. Then the fourth thing to consider is the security of supply. So in this way, when we have the processes in our own hands in Finland, in Europe, we are able to maintain the security of the supply. So that also means that we are actually producing the precursors for pharmaceutical products, for example, closer to industry, and that way that's also of environmentally good thing. Then finally, what we are interested in is the safety of the end product. So we have the bio-waste, we are utilizing that as a culture media. We would like to know that the products which come out of the recycled materials, that they are also healthy for the end users and doesn't cause any harm, and none of the toxins are accumulated in the system. So this is the big picture where we are working at the moment. And the project which we started end of last year is called TURBITS. It's the EU-funded project where it's a collaborative project between us and University of Applied Sciences, Jyväskylä University of Applied Sciences, especially the Bioeconomy Institute in Saarijärvi. And the long title for this project called New Cultivated Plants on Peatlands and Bio-based Side Streams, Production Chains, Valuables and Circular Economy. So we are interested in new plants, new crops, which could be cultivated in former peatlands. You all know possibly that the energy production using peat was already forbidden. So those peatlands which we have quite much, especially here in central Finland, they don't produce that much income anymore for the landowners and the people who have been previously working on the peatlands. Another branch of industry which has been suffering is the growth media production, because that was the side product from the energy beet. And that is the reason why we need to find quite fast other sources for the biomass. So we need to find sources to produce beddings and growth media and such things. And this was the starting point for this project. And then in addition to possible new plants which we could cultivate on peatlands by polyculture, so wet cultivation, we are also interested in different bio-based side streams from the agriculture industry, or then from the food industry. If you want to take a closer look for the project, you can again find the QR code in the slides. But yeah, we are interested about new plants, bio-based side streams, and possibly some of the industrial side streams. Jyväskylän University of Applied Sciences, Bioeconomy Institute, they are more responsible to develop methods related to storage and harvesting and logistics of these new polycultured plants. How many of you knows what is polyculture? None. So basically, it's the method where we are trying to prevent CO2 emissions from the former peatlands. You know that if we have a peatland which has the connection with air, all the time we get the carbon emissions from the land. If we are able to increase the water level on those peatlands, we don't anymore get this CO2 emissions directly. Another thing is that if we are able to do polyculture, so this kind of wet cultivation, that means that we are not only preventing the release of the CO2, but we are also getting more carbon through the plants to the soil. So that is why this polyculture is so important, and we would like to find new plants which we are able to polyculture, so using the wet cultivation. You can imagine that the storage and especially the harvesting is more difficult than the fields what we are using today, because there is this water layer on the surface. Okay, our job in this project we are running actually this project, so it's the analytics of the side streams and recovery of the valuables. So we take these new plants, we test what kind of valuables they would be, so that could we utilize them better by first by recovery of the valuables, and then we produce the potential biomass. And this we are especially interested in compounds which could be used in the pharmaceutical industry, in cosmetics, and in food industry. As a chemicals or chemical compounds, that might mean alkaloids, antimicrobials, fungicides which plants have been producing to fight against fungus, flavonoids which have health effects, some food additives like coloring and flavoring substances, and this type of things. So first take hopefully the recover the valuables, and then the rest of the biomass is still in use to, and it can be used for fiber industry, for textile industry, for example, as biostimulants to promote the cultivation, as a bedding materials for animals, or as a growth medium. So this is basically our job, but we also try to like bring together different actors to be able to utilize the materials as fully as possible. And at the moment, these are the plants we are interested in. There is a peat moss for which we have the samples in the freezer. Then we have the reed canary grass, which have been previously used for energy production. Then we have a cattail. How many of you knows these plants? Never seen. All things. So you know that beside of the roads there is a it's kind of a very tall plant which have this from corn or something like that. And the company called Fluff Stuff is very interesting. It's a spin-off from Aalto University, and they have been using this plant to produce a vegan option for feathers. Like when this gets ready, it kind of like explodes. It's producing this kind of a white fluffy stuff. So they have been developing the methods how to use this fluffy stuff in the pillows and jackets and these kind of things. But then there is also the side stream, so there's still the root and the stem and the leaves and all these kind of things. Then another side stream which we are studying is the hemp side stream from the fiber hemp and oil hemp. It's very regulated plant to some reasons. So basically for the fiber hemp, they are only using the very small part of the plant, so the fibers. But then there is also the leaves and flowers and seeds and roots, which are very rich for the different interesting compounds with the pharmaceutical activity. Then the fifth one, which we are studying, is also a side stream. So it's the cabbage stem. Vaisi is a company who is producing cabbage-based dishes, like garlic, and these rolled cabbage dishes, sold in all lunch cafeterias throughout Finland. But when they are using the cabbage leaves, they end up having this part. It's rather large. It's this kind of a stem. It's a little bit wooden part of the plant. So we are also studying this cabbage stem, what kind of interesting compounds we could get from there. So this is more or less literature survey of different type of compounds which can be found in each of the plants. There's some compounds which are harmful for the end users, aflatoxins, for example, gramine, ergovaline, which are Well, alkaloids, which are toxics. Then there are, of course, cannabinoids, which might find some other use elsewhere. Then there are lots of useful things like polyphenols, flavonoids, different alkaloids, of course, the fiber materials, also sterols, vitamins, and that kind of things, which we could develop further for products. So what we are actually then doing in there when we get this cabbage stem or peat moss or something like that, it starts with the processing. So we are doing the chopping, drying, freezing, something like that to get out of the water and to get that in the usable form. Then we are doing first the crude extraction, so that we can first get some crude extracts to study what is actually in there. So before start to use those valuables, we of course need to study what is actually usable in there. So we do the crude extraction by using the sonication, natural solvent extraction, shock extraction, and that type of things. Then we analyze these crude extracts by using gas chromatography, mass spectrometry, and UHPLC-MS, liquid chromatography, mass spectrometry. And that we call untargeted analysis. So basically, we want to know everything what is in there. But of course, we are more focused on those compounds which are having some abundance, and later on, which might have this kind of a commercial use. Then we are identifying the valuables. What is the something which could be interesting to other branches of industry? Then, when we have identified them, then we want to do quantitative analysis. So we want to see how much of those compounds are there. Does it have any commercial value in that sense? Then we are doing some shortlisting of the valuables, and then we actually study the actual recovery methods. And they are basically stepwise methods by using different methodologies. Scavengers, solid phase extraction, sonosoxlet, for example, so utilizing both the sonication and then the soxlet extraction. But this is not easy, you know. There's tons of different compounds in the material, and we need to optimize the techniques in such a way that they're efficient, but they are also environmentally friendly. So we cannot really use heavy solvents like hexane. So, and we don't want to create processes where we finally create more waste than we had at the beginning. So we don't want to do that. So that will be the hardest part of this process. Then we go to piloting. We have a nice pilot facilities in here. So we start from the analytical phase, and then we end up to the piloting scale, so kilogram liter scale. Here is one example from the cabbage stem. So we start with the processing. When the cabbage stem are coming, there's a little bit of the leafy side, and then there is a core and bark. So first we separate the parts of the plant. We actually have this kind of a kitchenware which we are using for to chop the materials. Then we have some drying. We are using liquid nitrogen and then cryo freezer and freeze drying actually. to get all the water out of the plants. Kazakhstan, for example, it has 94% of water, even if it seems like a very wooden type of thing. It's really, really nuts. Then we are crushing them and we get some kind of a powder or something like that. We go to these crude extractions. From crude extractions, we go to the instrument analytics, so gas chromatography mass spec and UHPLC mass spec. We get some kind of a, we do the literature, so we get some listings of the compounds. Then we focus on to make these decisions, what would be then the valuable compounds. Then to develop the recovery methods and then finally to the pilot. So same thing in the then in the last slide, but in with the pictures. Okay, that was about the process we are running at the moment, and we are planning to continue that kind of activities also in future. Then a few words about our mass spectrometry laboratory, which you will, some of you have already done some exercises in there. This is the laboratory which we use for teaching and research both. And it's very well equipped. I must say we have been very happy to get some external funding for the laboratory. So we have been able to get some rather decent instruments. These abbreviations don't necessarily tell you much at the moment, but maybe to look at things, what are their superpowers? So we are doing the untargeted analytics, structural chemistry, analysis of synthetic products, like from Kaisa's things. We do some targeted analytics when we want to see whether we have a certain compound in the materials. We do cutoff chromatography, and then of course on the GC-MS side we do the targeted and untargeted at the same time. If you want to look at the instruments in details and get more information from there, you can go to the infrabooking.jyu.fi, and basically you can find all the university's instrumentation there and take a look at it. You don't have the reservation rights yet, but you can take a look at the instrumentation. So I would like to motivate you to take this advantage to use our very excellent instrumentation what we have here at the University of Jyväskylä chemistry, so that you would build up some skills to operate the instruments and analyze the data and so. Here is a couple of courses which we are running there. Some of you, they might be in your curriculum as well, at least some of them. So we have the basic principles of mass spec, chromatographic methods, practical methods of mass spectrometry. And then we have the exercises. So F, is this the correct word? Okay, might not be. So we have the LC-MS exercise where you will analyze caffeine from the beverages, so Coke, Pepsi, coffee, and so on. It's done with the liquid chromatography, mass spectrometry. Then we have the SFC-HPLC exercise where ibuprofen painkiller is analyzed from the painkiller tablets. And then we have the GC-MS analysis of monosaccharides. So those are the practical exercises. Then we are doing quite many other things besides the circular economy as well. So we have a nice instrumentation to study structural chemistry of different kind of compounds. We have done that for more than a decade. So we have the eye mobility cue of mass spectrometer, which is actually giving us the collision projections of the molecules. So we have been studying quite a lot metal coordination gauges and supramolecular systems as well. Our lab is one of the few labs in the world who's actually doing this kind of analysis. So we get lots of samples also abroad for these brands. Then we are collaborating with the sports sciences. We are measuring the metabolites from resistance training. I have a PhD student who I'm co-supervising for sports sciences. So they are interested to see what is happening when you do the weight training at the gym. But what is happening here in your muscle? What kind of metabolic routes are expressed or downregulated during this process? So they have these muscle cells, so separate cells. They put them in this tank where there's some gel, and then the muscle cells are doing the exercise when they're moving two blocks. Then the other thing is, which I'm calling aptronic, is that is the one where they put the separate muscle cells and then they put the electricity and it starts to do the actual work. Then we take the muscle cells, we extract the metabolites out of that there, and then we analyze them in our laboratory. We see, for example, amino acids and these kind of things, like what goes up and what goes down during the resistance training. We are also studying the flux. So we are using the carbon-13 labeled platters to grow the muscle cells so that we can really see like in which metabolite the carbon-13 is actually trending. Then to ecology, we have been studying, for example, what is happening to sparrows. Like, for example, if you have a sparrow living in urban environments or a sparrow living on the countryside, and you would like to know what is happening to their reproductivity. So then, of course, you take the sparrow, you take the serum, you measure the testosterone or corticosterone levels from the stress from the birds, and that is how it goes. Or the other thing is that they have been interested in a pesticide called glyphosate. What is the effect from the glyphosate to microbiotic system of the sparrow? So we have been then studying some fatty acids for that. Then environmental analytics, we are studying pharmaceuticals from wastewater streams and sludge with different collaborators, and also neuro and cyanotoxins from algae. This can be also related to circular economy in that sense that algae is also used in the food technology. Then to food science, we are starting the food chemistry pilot 24-25. So quite soon. I don't actually know what that's going to contain yet, because the ideas come from the industry. And then we are starting a project related to spent coffee grounds, which in Finland we get a lot. Okay. So, me you can find in Applied Chemistry Building 517. I'm there at the same corridor as Siri. So if you have any questions or related to mass spec studies or organic analytical studies, then please come and talk to me. Good.
Thank you, Elena. So, any questions for Elena? Maybe I can start. I was wondering where you are in the Turbit project currently. You've only been working for less than 1 year, but because you had this process and then analytics and recovery, in what stage are you in?
Basically,
With the cabbage, are you
with
in?
the cabbage, we are in here
Yeah.
at the moment. It depends on a little bit on the I mean, I was also in different materials maybe. So with the Reed Canary grass, we have run the GCMS initial GCMS analysis already. UHPLC has been with all those materials a little bit pending because we got the new instrumentation for that. And we were able to get the instrument late spring. And it still takes some time to develop the methods for that. So everything is pending more or less from the UHPLC because UHPLC analysis will give us the most interesting variables. Peat moss, we are doing the crude processing at the moment and starting the first extractions. Cabbage is quite far away, so we are already analyzing the cabbage with the UHPLC. So we have done some processing and these kind of things. Hemp, we just picked up from the field. So we have lots of hemp in our freezer in different parts like roots and all these kind of things. Cattail is still pending completely. So we don't even have the study material yet in here. But we decided to start with the Reed Canary grass and cabbage so that we can develop the actual process. Then when we have to develop the process, then everything else is more or less like optimizing the same process. Yeah.
Yeah, depending on the values, of course.
Depending on the values.
Very interesting project. It's nice to see where you end
Yeah.
up with it.
Yeah.
Let's see if we have any questions from the chat.
So you can write if you have any questions or, from Zoom, you can write them in the chat. Any question from the audience? Guys, go ahead.
What I can do with the spent coffee grounds.
I'm going to say it again
Many things.
for the Zoom people. So guys, I was asking, what are they going to do with the spent coffee grounds?
Yeah, we are studying both like commercial coffee and then this kind of special coffee and a little bit the si same things as in here. But you know that actually, the spent coffee grounds, they can be used for many things. I don't know if you know yet about the
Pirkka, do
no,
you mean?
but the other project for the for example, Creed and these, because you could use that as a battery materials as well. Because it has lots of carbon, so it could be used as a activated carbon material. And it has been also used for 3D printing.
Oh.
So they have made a coffee cups from coffee grounds. So there's lots of potential with the coffee grounds.
I had only heard of this Pirkka, you know, this soil where they make
Yeah,
this,
yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
also this fertilizer.
Yeah. But those are then the downcycling
Yeah,
processes.
they.
Like we would like to see what we can get out of the coffee spent coffee grounds, like what valuable products we get really get. Like I really don't know how much we are actually extracting when we do the coffee. And how much stuff is there then?
then still remaining. It's quite fast, so I would presume it's very little
And
water
then of
extra.
course we have other solvents, other methods which could be used instead of this kind of maceration process what we are doing with the coffee.
Yeah, I don't think we have questions in the chat. Anything from the audience still? No, it doesn't seem to be, so I think we can thank Elina and Kaisa again, and then we will meet on Wednesday again. So thank you all.
Thank you.